drive to work across Flint River Bridge, 100 yards from the spot where me and Grandpa fished. There's a piece of his old fruit stand on the side of Sawmill Road. He'd be there peeling peaches if it was 20 years ago. And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day. Introduce them to their grandpa, watch them laugh at the way he talked. Find my long lost cousin John, the one we left back in Vietnam. Show him a picture of his daughter now, she's a doctor and he'd be proud. Tell him we'd be back in a couple of days. In the rearview mirror, we'd all watch him race. Yeah, and losing them wouldn't be so hard to take if heaven wasn't so far away. I'd hug all three of those girls we lost from the class of 99. And I'd find my bird dog boat, take him hunting one more time. Ask Hank why he took those pills back in 53. Janice would sing the second verse of me and Bobby McGee. I sit on a cloud and visit for a while. It'd do me good just to see them smile. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up and go for the day. Introduce them to their grandpapa, watch them laugh at the way he talked. Find my long lost cousin John, the one we left back in Vietnam. Show him a picture of his daughter now, she's a doctor and he'd be proud. Tell him we'd be back in a couple of days. In the rearview mirror, we'd all watch him wait. Yeah, losing them wouldn't be so hard to take if heaven wasn't so far. If heaven wasn't so far. If heaven wasn't so far away. So far.
Yeah, my only hope was Betty Lou. She was the one. A combination AK-57 Uzi Raider laser triple barrel double scoped heat seeking shotgun.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. America, dreaming in red, white, and blue. Well done, Virginians. Well done. I'm proud to say that the American side won in Virginia today. And, oh, by the way, welcome to the shooting bench. It's the 20th of January, D-Day for the Democrats. The deal that went on in Virginia went on without a hitch. Nobody got a bloody nose. Nobody fell and skinned their elbow. It was no trash was left in any of the areas there. It was a perfect success. Now, whether it's going to have any bearing on the legislation that they're proposing or whether it's going to make things worse or better, I don't know, but it does demonstrate a dramatic point. It has destroyed, absolutely destroyed the Democrats' narrative. Declaring a state of emergency and threatening to call the National Guard and barricading off everything and having all these armed agents out there and arresting people all over the East Coast out there because they've visited Richmond or something. I mean, it was just insane. And nothing happened. It was a rally. And that's all it was a rally. It was an educational rally. It was a rally to show support and how damn well it was done. So there'll be one in Arizona here pretty shortly. I think it's next month. I hope they have half as much luck as Virginia had. That was excellent. So, again, we don't know if it's going to have any effect on anything. But it showed that there were many thousands of armed individuals there. Obviously, the ones that, I say obviously, it shouldn't be obviously, but the ones that were in their fenced-in area closer to the Capitol building were not allowed to have guns. But people went anyway. They sacrificed their rights for a cause for a little bit and God bless them for doing it. You know, I would have been one of the ones on the outside of the fence, but there were thousands. I have no earthly idea how many there may have been. And any numbers that we get from mainstream media, I have no faith in whatsoever. We have no idea what it's going to be. But there was many. You know, it's kind of sad in a way because Olympia now has been swept under the rug. You know, Olympia for the last 5 years has it been 5 years? Yeah, December of 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. It'll be 5 years this coming December. Has been probably almost certainly the largest gathering of armed Americans on public land since the Revolutionary War. I've said that before. But it is now a drop in the bucket. It is now insignificant. This one in Virginia absolutely destroyed any possibility. It is, well, Olympia is now a distant second. So, but it was still a great rally. I was at the one in Olympia. You all know that. And it was wonderful, well organized, and it just like the one in Virginia. All we managed to do was get our point across, but it got it across well. It is not hard to find still yet today to find just with a couple of clicks, find 100 stories or more about the thing in Olympia. I was proud to be there. So we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to go to the one in Phoenix here. I think pretty sure it's next month. I'll get a date for you and I'll let you know. But I'll be almost certainly going to be there for that one. So I'm really surprised. I think what happened, you know, if what people say was even half true, you know, 20% true. They sent, I've heard that they sent, and pretty consistently, that somebody sent 7 busloads of Antifa members to this rally in Virginia, all dressed up in MAGA hats and
what am I trying to say, Gadsden flag T-shirts and all this stuff so they look like patriots and they were supposed to cause trouble. But I think what happened, and I'm pretty sure of this, is when they got there and they jumped out ready to cause trouble and they looked to the right and they looked to the left and they looked ahead of them and turned around and looked behind them, and as far as the eye could see, in every direction were MAGA hats and Gadsden flag T-shirts and everything else. And I think what happened was they said, you know what? No. Damn this. We are not in the right place. This is not going to work. So I think what we'll do, boys and girls, I think we will pretend to be just like them until we can ease over to the outskirts of this thing a little bit and see if we can sneak away before anybody figures out what we're doing here. I think they were very much taken by surprise, and seven busloads didn't make a smattering of difference in the number of people that were there. I am most impressed. Well done, Virginia. Okay, let's move on. We got other stuff to talk about. Let me get over here on my... By the way, I hope that you guys are following Concretin's stuff. His musical shows are being moved over to... I just suggested to him a while ago that he move his Saturday night show over there as well. And if you guys want to go and listen to those things, then... You know, it's right there. You don't have to wait for other shows to play. You don't have to, worry about it getting interrupted in the middle of it or anything. You can go download it or you can listen to it right there on the site and not have to fool with it. So that website, for those of you that don't know already, is Joyful Noise. Let's see. Joyfulnoise.podbean.com. Noise is with a Y, joyfulnoise.podbean.com, and you can go and listen to Concretin shows there. He's done well getting all that put together. Okay, onward and upward. Let me find why did that happen? Well, let's see what's going on here. Okay, well, let's try it this way. All right, that worked. Okay, here is what Survival Circle was all about. This is why we did this originally. It's about survival stuff, preparedness and whatnot. And this guy's name's Tyson Steele. He was 30 years old. He's from Utah. He's Salt Lake City, actually. He survived for 3 weeks in the snow in Alaska after his cabin burned down. And, of course, it would be, from the looks of things here, it looks pretty remote. And they show a picture on a map here of where it's at. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know how in the hell they decided to build a cabin out there, but it was way, way, way out there in the middle of nowhere. Chances of walking out, as far as I'm concerned, were pretty cotton picking slim. I don't know whether he had snowshoes or not. I don't know if he had a backpack. I don't know how well he was equipped for cold weather gear, you know, not expecting his cabin to burn down. But... friends and family hadn't heard from him for quite a while, and they decided they better do a welfare check on him because no one had heard from him. So, and for 3 weeks. So because it was so remote, they used a helicopter to reach it, and it was farther out than the snowmobiles could go. And I guess he expected, he probably had planned for this. I would like to think he had, along with his family members here. But when troopers got there, flew over it, they spotted a great big SOS trumped In the Snow. And we've talked about that numerous times about, and it's in my book, actually, that this is something that, you know, would be beneficial to you. So he was waving his arms and carrying on and trying to get noticed right there. And but it burned down in mid-December and with no way to contact anybody. Now, I don't know exactly where he was. I don't know what the elevation was. I don't know how far it was to a repeater of some kind, if a radio would have helped him. It certainly couldn't hurt. And when you, if you're going to do something like that, you can always make sure that your family members or friends or somebody, even a couple of somebodies, know what frequency you're going to try. And you should know the law enforcement and search and rescue people's frequencies there. So even if you can't reach a repeater, you can try a couple of times a day just quickly and save your battery. And try to get out. You know, somebody might hear it. If you'll remember, Edge of the Woods, when he was still in New Mexico, east of Albuquerque on I-40, about 30 miles or so, was messing around with the radio one night and just happened to hear a faint little signal and cry for help on his radio. The guy who had been hunting or something, he was up in southern Colorado, probably in a higher elevation, so that and Edge of the Woods was able to hear him. And he was the only one that heard him. The same thing could happen to this guy if you just try once in a while and hope that your signal gets, you know, drifts out there somewhere. But that's what happened to this guy in Colorado. And Edge of the Woods talked to him, found out roughly where he was at, and called Sheriff's Department or Forest Service or somebody up there close to where this guy was at and literally saved his life. The guy almost certainly would have died up there if he hadn't got this call out when he intercepted when they did. So I will say, as I've said so many times before, these radios are not gimmicks. They're not hobby. I mean, they are hobbies to some people, but this is serious stuff. These radios can very, very well save your lives if you know how to use them and, you know, be smart about it. So, anyway, he said the guy burned his own cabin down, actually. He said he made the mistake of putting a big piece of cardboard in his wood stove, and he thinks a spark caught the roof on fire. You know, these newer stoves have spark arresters up on the chimney. And you know, they say, who is it? Oh, right here, the fire department right here in Vernon says that when you're burning trash and stuff out there, you're burning debris and wood and everything, you're not supposed to burn cardboard and paper and stuff. Because just like we learned during the Wallow fire or any forest fire, that this fire has a thermal column and lifts those sparks up pretty high and sets them down somewhere else. And he thinks that's what happened to his cabin here. And you know, it sucks to be him because I'm sure it was not, this was not a easy task building that cabin up there. You know, I don't know if they flew everything in or if they cut the trees down and, you know, built it out of, you know, locally available stuff and what he used for furniture. I don't have any idea whether it was just a small open cabin with nothing in it but a folding chair. I don't have any idea. But nevertheless, it was his whole shelter in his home and temporarily, and apparently he burned it down. He said a little bit of food survived the fire, but most of it was burned. I did an interview, and he said, he said, last night's meal was probably one of the worst. I was leaving the burned-off stuff for the last, and last night's dinner was a can of plastic-smoked refried beans. No hickory, no mesquite. He said it's a Class A waterproof tarp flavor. So that probably wasn't the best thing to do. I mean, there was wood around there. I don't know why he had to do that, but Anyway, he says he plans to return to Salt Lake City and spend some time with his family. There's a story about it. Do a search for winter fire survival 1-10-2020. Winter fire survivor 1-10-2020. And there are spaces between the winner and the fire and the survivor there. So give that a shot and see if you can find it. That's pretty neat. Okay, where are we at here? We've still got a little bit of time before we need to take a break. So let me see if I can throw something else in here. Actually, I think I'll throw a break in here right now. So stand by and I'll be back in a minute.
I'll be back.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
Somewhere in a distant land, so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man. And I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
It seems that you've changed in these past few days. Oh, when I try to kiss you, you just push me away. Now I don't know what's wrong, but I don't see how we can go on. I think your love for me is dying, and it's all over but the crying. I called you on the phone just to find out what was wrong, and the things you said made my suspicions real. You said tonight again you have to stay with this sick friend, but that story I'm not buying, 'cause it's all over but the crying. It's all over but the crying. I never would have thought you were lying. It sounded so true when you said I love you. Now I'll say my goodbye, 'cause it's all over but the crying. It's all over, but for crying.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
On Talk Radio 1270, coming up at 4:35, your Friday leftovers. Then we'll kick off the weekend at about 5:05. Joining me now is Cope Reynolds from Arizona. You don't have that missing Arizona winning lottery ticket, do you, Cope?
Unfortunately, no, sir, I don't.
All right. Did you play?
No, sir.
Okay.
Tell me I have to buy a ticket to win. So
yeah, that's what they tell you. But you know what? I'm holding out. I think if the good Lord wants me to have it, I'll just find one or something, right?
That's right.
That's the old joke. Guy keeps asking the Lord, please let me hit the lottery. Please let me hit the lottery over and over. He dies. He goes to heaven. He goes, how can you let him hit the lottery? He goes, you could have bought a ticket. Cope Reynolds is from the Southwest Shooting Authority in Arizona. Now, you might recognize the Southwest Shooting Authority because, Cope, you are the one that put up the you will not do business with Obama supporters. Is that right?
That's right.
Was it a sign you put up?
Well, I started out with I felt like, you know, the next morning after the election, I got to feeling like somebody had kicked me in my fork at the end, and I was just sick about the whole thing.
A lot of people were, yeah.
And And I said, well, I'm going to put a sign up here and tell people. I said, if people have done this, if they're this dumb to do this again, I don't think that they need to have a firearm in their hands.
And you certainly don't want to have a firearm in your place, right?
No. So I put a sign up, said if you voted for Barack Obama, please turn around and leave. You're not proven you're not responsible enough to have a firearm. And thank you to management. And I thought, you know, anybody that comes here, it hasn't voted for him anyway. I mean, it's going to get a lot to laugh, not to do anything.
Right.
I want to point out to the other people, not my people. So I took out an ad in the paper and just said that your business is not welcome here. And these liberals think that I'm denying them their Second Amendment rights. And I need to remind them that the Constitution protects you from the United States government, not from me. That's what the Bill of Rights and the Constitution is all about. And in Arizona, there is no law against discriminating against someone for political beliefs. The Civil Rights Act, not Civil Rights Act, what is it, the, whatever that federal civil discrimination, whatever the heck it is,
mm-hmm.
Protects you against discrimination, race, color, religion, creed, handicaps, and whatever the case may be, but not political opinions or political beliefs.
So you said that the hell with you, if you're voting for Obama or voted for him, I don't want to hear it.
I don't want him in here. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want him around me.
Now you're 100% serious about that. You were like, I just don't want to be around him.
I am dead serious. If you listen to my I did an interview with Alan Combs the other night, and I don't like him either. And I told him that on the show.
Yeah, you're not alone in not liking Alan Combs, but just so you know.
I gotta tell you though, Cope, I really like you.
That's right. Cope, I've said before, I like people who stand up for their beliefs, whatever it is, and you are willing to suffer the slings and arrows, financial loss, whatever it is, to say, I'm doing the right thing here.
Well, Doc, let me ask you something. If you see me standing out on the street and I take a dollar bill and tear it in half and throw it on the ground, throw it in the burn barrel, and you hand me another $10 bill, and I take another $1 bill out of my pocket and tear it up and throw it in the burn barrel, and you give me another $10 bill, am I losing money?
Yeah, no, actually, you're not losing money. I'd be losing money.
You know, for the few people, the damn few that may have voted for Obama and be gun owners that I may have alienated here, I am making friends by the dozen. I'm not losing money because of this.
How's your business been since you did that?
Say again?
How's your business been doing since all of this?
It's unbelievable. Matter of fact, I'm in the process right now. I almost forgot the interview. I was in the process of revamping our online store completely because I just was not prepared for this at all.
Oh, well, good. I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you have the online store up. You might as well, benefit. I'm a capitalist too, Cope. So you might as well benefit from it, get some people to your website.
We've gotten probably 3,500 emails right now and about 2,500 phone calls. And the support that we get almost brings tears to my eyes. I mean, back of my neck stand up. It's unbelievable what this stupid little sign has brought here. We've gotten it's on at least two that I know of, Russian publications and one German. We've gotten calls from Afghanistan, Canada, England, every state in the Union, and you can always tell as soon as you pick up the phone, if it's a phone call, as soon as you pick up the phone, you hear them, you dirty, rotten, racist son of a... And so I know it's a liberal right off the bat because they're not articulate enough. They don't have the intelligence to hold it. And we always ask them, do you have an adult there that we can talk to?
I'm talking with Cope Reynolds from the...
They have no... Yeah. Basis for what they want to say. They just want to cuss and raise heck with you.
We're talking with Cope Reynolds from the Southwest Shooting Authority, and is it Pine Top, Arizona, right?
Yes, sir.
Pine Top, Arizona. Put a sign up that... What did your sign specifically say that you put on the door?
It says, that's what I was saying a while ago, it says if you voted for Barack Obama, please turn around and leave. You've proven that you're not responsible enough to own a firearm.
Cope, you said, the outpouring has been overwhelming and it almost brought tears to your eyes. I'll bet if you're like me, you go through your day and probably a lot of other people too, where the stuff gets so frustrating that you start feeling alone or you start saying, am I the only one that realizes how wrong, how broken things are, how screwed up the crazy progressive ideas are? And you start feeling alone and then you do something like that and you see how many people out there get it, Cope.
Well, I do, and it's sometimes I think, am I doing the right thing here? And because I'll get two or three phone calls in a row from some liberal, and they just cuss and call me everything in the world, and I start thinking, if these people think I'm that bad, maybe this is not the right thing. But then I'll tell you what, I got one, and I should have had it queued up here and play it. I got it from the guy answered the phone or called, left a message. He said, I knew I was fixing to get a butt chew in here. And he said, I am a Native American and I'm a person of color. And I want to thank you for standing up for our rights. I want to thank you for everything. And I want to thank you for this. Thank you for that. I served 4 years in the Marine Corps and I wish to God that more people would stand up and do this. And that made it worth any, 100 calls that I get from these other ones. That one makes it all worthwhile. We got another one from a black lady down south, and she was obviously from the accent and tone of her voice from way down deep in the piney woods somewhere. And it's, honey, I just want to thank you so much for... So these people that say, they call me and say, well, this is racist. I say, how is it racist? Well, it just is. Oh, well, thank you for clearing that up for me. I had no idea.
It is because they believe it is, Cope. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just insane, the remarks that we get from the left.
But you know what's so funny about that, Cope? You're right, but think how silly it is that someone would call you and be so upset that they would curse you out. So they take the time to call you and curse you out because you didn't like the guy they liked for president. Think how nutty that is from their perspective.
And I'll tell you how lily-livered they are. Every one of them that does that calls from a blocked phone number. Every email that we get from those people is on a bogus email address. They don't give us the opportunity to explain anything to them. We've had exactly two, I can count them on two fingers, two emails that's come in where someone said, I don't agree with what you're doing. Would you please explain your stance to me? I think you're wrong. But I don't agree with it, but would you explain your point of view and see if I can understand it? Two out of 300 or 400.
Wow.
And the rest of them are just cussing and raising all kinds of cane and then they hang up on you. Or they call and say, oh, I got the wrong number. You didn't get the wrong number. I know what you didn't. You didn't get the wrong number. You just said, you answered, somebody answered the phone. He said, oh, no, what do I do now? There's somebody there.
You've had an 8,000% increase in wrong numbers in the last couple of weeks, but they're all wrong numbers, Cope.
About that, yeah. It's insane.
It's pretty interesting, though. I think it shows a lot of how people are feeling right now in America. I'm talking with Cope Reynolds from the Southwest Shooting Authority in Pine Top, Arizona, about a sign he put up on his door saying, we don't want your business if you voted for Obama, and it seems to be doing pretty well. What's your website, Cope?
SouthwestShootingAuthority.com.
SouthwestShootingAuthority.com, and we'll link to it too on our Facebook or our web station website as well. Tell me,
the online store that's on there right now is pretty weak. Like I said, I was not prepared for this. I really had no idea. This was not a, you know, they had old what's his name, Barney on Fox.
Barney Frank.
Barney. What's the guy's name on Fox?
Oh, Stu Varney, Stuart Varney.
Yeah, there you go.
Stu Varney.
They sent a limousine up here the other day and picked up me and my wife and took us down to Phoenix for a televised interview. And he said, now, just tell me the truth. This is just a marketing deal. And then I said, no, it's not. I realize they're good or bad. It doesn't matter what it does to the business. I didn't put this up there for the business. I put it up there for me. I put it up there because this is the way all of us, not just me, but the guys that work for me and my wife and my son, we all believe that, and it has nothing to do with marketing. If the whole store goes under and somebody burns it down, that's not going to change the way we feel. So that's and I told him that on the air. It's not, it has nothing to do with marketing. It's the last thing on my mind when I put that up.
Yeah, like you said, if it was about marketing, you would have been prepared for the website, right? All the
info. I would have said, okay, let's get everything together now. Let's make sure we got plenty of product, because when we get this out, people are going to start swarming in here. It was a spur of the moment thing. I come here, we open the door at 8 o'clock the next morning, and by 8:15 the sign was on the door. I just thought about it right then. I just turned around, went to my computer, printed one off, and stuck it on there. And later on the same day, I said, that's not going to get the desired effect. I want everybody to know. So I put it on in the newspaper, and then I put it on Facebook and a couple of gun related sites. And after that, it went absolutely bananas.
Cope, what do you carry? What do you carry when you're not at the shop? Obviously, you have a lot of choices there.
I carry the same thing no matter where I'm at. I carry a Glock. Right now, I'm carrying a Glock 22. I normally carry a Glock 23.
Okay.
And I just went out to the range the other day and I was shooting this one. I just haven't taken it off yet. But whatever I carry, it'll be a Glock.
Yeah. You like the what do you like about the Glocks? Is it just the reliability, dependability?
Everything: reliability, dependability, lightweight, very maintenance forgiving. It's they're accurate in spite of what some people will tell you. They shoot very well, and they're in the middle of the road price compared to a lot of them out there, and they've got every variation in caliber that I might want, 10 millimeter, 49 millimeter, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and we're just madly in love with them here.
Yeah, I like the Glock 9. I'm a big fan of the 9mm Glock. That's mm-hmm. real solid. And I like the K9 series too from Carr. The 40, yeah, 45, like them both.
Yeah, we're one of the, I'd say probably one of the top three in the nation for, Glock modifications, grip reductions, and stippling and trigger jobs and all kinds of stuff. And that's all on our, Glocksmithing on our website. We do a lot of stuff to Glocks.
Hey, what do you think the future holds with with the challenges to the Second Amendment? I mean, it's a never-ending battle. But what do you think's coming right now? Is there anything immediately on the horizon that worries you, or do you think people?
Yeah, there is, and that's another thing that has come up many times. Well, Obama has expanded our rights. You know, he hasn't expanded our rights. He hasn't changed the Constitution. But the one thing that he did do, that he had to do, is he signed into law a bill on February 22nd of 2009 that allowed us to carry in national parks and national monuments, providing you're obeying the law that the national park or the law of the state that the national park or national monument is in. And he had to do that because it was a bill that had a whole bunch of other stuff that he had to have. He had no choice. It wasn't because he's our friend. He did it because he had no choice. That's the only thing that he's done that was related to the Second Amendment. Now, I think that he has been very patient. I think he's been very disciplined. I think he's a genius. He's done everything that he needed to do to keep people on his side, And I fully expect him to lower the boom on us in the immediate future. The very next day after the election. I mean, there wasn't, he hadn't even been president again for 12 hours. And, he has, started the talks with the UN again over this United Nations, small arms treaty, which at the moment poses no risk for us. Everybody's all concerned about it. I think that they will change it, modify it, amend it, do whatever they need to do. It will affect us soon. But the way it's written right now, as you look at it, it doesn't really affect civilians. But he said in his second debate that he plans to reinstate an assault weapons ban of some kind. I have several sound clips of him talking about that kind of thing. So I think immediate future. Matter of fact, Dianne Feinstein, as we speak right now, is drafting up. She's making the wording for the new assault weapons ban. I don't think it'll pass the way she has it worded, but it will pass.
Well, they're trying, though. That's the key. And eventually they'll get the right combination, and they'll do it.
They won't stop. They won't stop.
All right. Cope Reynolds from the Southwest Shooting Authority in Pine Top, Arizona. Thank you so much for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
And thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too, buddy. Thanks so much.
Well, that was an oldie but a goodie. I thought I'd throw that in there for you guys just for amusement's sake. But anyway, this, what is it? Yeah, this coming Saturday, I have a, well, actually, I have a meet and greet coming up on Tuesday for those of you that are in this part of the country. It'll be at Vernon Park at 5 o'clock from 5 to 7. But Saturday, we have a, I may have told you that we have the bona fide full meal deal cert class coming up. We did the cert class before. It was kind of a teaser deal, but briefly, we're taking the whole thing, and it's on this coming Saturday, and then it will be on the 15th of February. It'll be those two Saturdays. You have to attend both of them to get certified. But once you do that, it gives you a little bit of leeway, a little bit of credence when you come up on an accident or during, you know, search and rescue operations or something like that. If they know you're not just some hillbilly off the street that wants to help but doesn't know anything. If you've been through the cert training, at least you've got a little bit of certification, a little bit of, what am I trying to say there? Anyway, you've got some credence behind you. So, we're excited to go and do that and get that out of the way. It's not, you know, everything that's there is things that we've done over and over and over and over, but we want to go and do it just to get the certification. It'll be really good for all of us to have that. I think there's 20 of us taking it, and I know I signed up I think I signed up either 10 or 11 out of my group, and the other people were from somewhere else. So I'm going to know over half the people there. All right. Let me sneak over here. I should have already had this up here, and I didn't do it, so stay with me a minute. Okay, speaking of things to get ready for, you know, one of the reasons I'm not too excited about moving back to Idaho or Montana. I love that country up there. I would go in a minute if, you know, different circumstances here, but I absolutely love that country. But I am a believer that volcano is going to go one of these days, because I probably told you we did a lot of research on this when I lived up in Wyoming. I think that part of the country is living on borrowed time already. And so does everybody else. It's way past due. So life will be tough down here, but up there it's not survivable. It doesn't matter if you're in an underground bunker and you survive the initial thing there. When we did our research, they said that, Cody, Wyoming, would be buried under something like 35 feet of ash when and if. Well, there's no ifs about it. It's going to happen. So we decided, you know, we didn't want to try to dig out of 35 feet of ash and try to get out of there. So that's why we moved. And probably primary reason why I have no intention of going back up there, except for a short visit and be prepared and full of gas and ready to go at any time. Whether we can outrun the fallout or not, I don't know. But it's one of those things we just have to pray about and deal with, I guess. Anyway, what led me up on this little rant here is there is a brand new supervolcano has been discovered and is brewing under Massachusetts, Vermont, and New Hampshire. And this is totally unexpected. So it's gradually making itself known to geologists in the United States. A huge mass of molten rock is creeping upwards beneath the nation's eastern states. The upwelling we detected is like a hot air balloon, and we infer that something is rising up through the deeper part of our planet from under New England. If this goes, and if it's anything at all, like the one, if it's even 10% of what the one in Yellowstone is, this could be a very, very, very tragic thing. I'd like to think that it wouldn't have any, you know, little or no effect on us way out here. It'll have a little effect on everybody because of the weather changes and possibly literally blacking out the sun if it's big enough, whether we get any of the fallout or not. So, you know, and I don't think anybody has a real accurate, there's a lot of what ifs, a lot of scenarios. You know, if it does this, if it's that bad, it'll do that. If it's this bad, you can expect this, and it'll go, you know, this many miles away from its center and on and on, but nobody knows exactly. So how do you prepare for something like that? If you live out there close to that, you don't. You just either prepare to see if you can outrun it when it happens, which is virtually impossible. Not that, you know, if you were sitting in your truck ready to go and it blew, depending on how close you were, I think you could probably outrun the fallout. If you were, amongst the smarter ones that didn't run home to get every little thing and worry about the dog and everything, but everybody, you know, you got kids, you got elderly parents, you got other relatives and friends, you have absolutely no time for anything. And so that's why it's virtually impossible to survive, because, you know, very few people are just going to take off out of there and say, well, I hope little Johnny is able to find a ride and get out of there. We would all go back and find our kids and stuff, and we would die with the rest of them, more than likely. So, you know, I don't know any more than anybody else does about how bad this would be, but I can expect from the way they talk that I want to read about it in the papers. I don't want to witness it firsthand. So, it says, our study challenges the established notion of how the continent on which we live behaves. It challenges the textbook concepts taught in introductory geology classes. The region is geologically stable. There are no active volcanoes, so the massive magma buildup must be a relatively recent event. But in the time scale of Earth's geological processes, this still means tens of millions of years. It will likely take millions of years for the upwelling to get where it's going. The next step is to try to understand exactly what's happening. So, you know, on the one hand, they say, come back in 50 million years and we'll see what happens. Without getting into a big, major religious discussion here, most of us are pretty confident that the Lord is going to destroy, and I think it makes it clear in the Bible that it'll be destroyed by fire this time. So if this thing, at any given time, if that's what the Lord wants to do, then it damn 50 million years. If he snaps his fingers and says, okay, let's do it right now, boom, there you go. So some of this stuff may be, as we see it, beginning to unveil itself here, to make itself, to manifest itself, this all could be pre-staged stuff. You know, if both of those volcanoes go off at the same time, well, I think the technical term for that is bad. So, anyway. But, as like so many other things, we can't, we need to make reasonable precautions. The key word here is reasonable to do what we need to do to survive it, but we can't put our life on hold like so many people did during Y2K and then, you know, wound up ruining their life and running their credit card, maxing their credit cards out and doing all kinds of stupid stuff that, you know, totally unnecessary and nothing happened. So, you know, if it's 5, 10, 100 years from now, 500 years from now, we can't put our lives on hold completely. We can only be reasonably prepared for what we can be reasonably prepared for. And it's that whole thing again, as I've said so many times, risk versus reward. Everything is a calculated risk. So if it's meant to be, it's just going to be, and there's nobody around here big enough to change that. Okay, let's see if I got another quickie here to do. Remember the National Guardsman that was prevented from going to work by the U.S. Postal Service? Well, there's another one. Same story. He wasn't gone as long, wasn't gone to the same place, not even in the same service. Yeah, he is actually in the same service in the Air Force. But this is a completely different guy, much younger. The Postal Service probably needs to step back and reevaluate their procedures here. All right. You know, I'm going to save. I've got two things here I want to save and talk about. You know what? Oh, man. I was going to do a whole big long story on the Rampart report tonight. So anyway, I'll put that together. I don't need to put it together. It's sitting right here in front of me. I don't know how I missed it. So anyway, we'll do that Wednesday for sure. I'll make a little note here. Amy always reminds me if I say something like this, don't forget you told them. Okay. Thank you. I'll take care of it. Alrighty. Well, I think that's going to do us for today, and I'll be back here Wednesday. We're looking at maybe changing the time, since we don't want to interfere with anybody else's shows. We may be changing the time of Living Way Out here because it's just impossible for us to get back here, reliably at 7 o'clock our time. So we're looking at maybe another day and having it come on at the same time that the Shooting Bench does at 8 o'clock, and I think we can probably handle that. That extra hour would make a huge difference for us. So we'll discuss that and see if that's going to work for us, and we'll let you know as soon as we find out. So until Wednesday, y'all have a good week. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.